Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the book of 2 Kings, we read of the Shunammite woman. And when we meet her, she had no child, and asked the prophet Elisha for a son. A son was born to her and her husband, and there was great rejoicing. But tragedy struck the home. The son became ill and died. The woman again went to the prophet for aid. As Elisha saw her coming, he sent his servant to meet her and make this inquiry: Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. My dear listener, these are questions we need to be asking today about our own homes. In our country today, it's all too obvious that in millions of homes, all is not well. Now, while great optimism may be evident at the marriage altar, and the doors of a heaven on earth seem to await, the new relationship often turns into the gateway of an earthly hell. The forces against the family and the sanctity of marriage have taken a deadly toll in our society. When you marry the right person, there's nothing more wonderful. But when you marry the wrong person, and often for the wrong reasons, there are a few things worse, and sorrow follows. One of four, and in some localities one of two, marriages are ending in divorce. Our divorce rate, I am told, is higher than in any other nation on earth. Hundreds of thousands of young people are torn apart from their parents because of divorce. Millions are living with one parent because of the breakdown of the home. I've never seen or heard so much divorce, even among members of the church. Furthermore, even where divorce does not occur, many homes are unhappy and they're maladjusted, they're miserable, with the accompanying unfaithfulness and conflict and frustrated children. Too many have viewed marriage through the eyes of a degenerate Hollywood, and that's the only kind of Hollywood you usually see. The trashy magazines so abundant in our society, these are loveless, they are selfish, sex-obsessed relationships, without the spiritual emphasis and the God-given purposes of marriage even being considered, let alone respected. America is bombarded with the advice from prominent and popular figures who have made miserable failures of their own marriages. There are even those elements that seek the dissolution of marriage and the home altogether. They promote free love communes and the acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion, lesbianism, homosexuality, and other such violations of the will of God. How much wiser and more successful marriages would be if those involved paid attention to the designer and the originator of the relationship. Our homes must be improved, friend, if our freedoms and society shall stand. 19 of 22 civilizations had already crumbled, we are told by historians, before they reached the low level of home disintegration that is already evident in our nation. Does this not concern you? The breakdown of the home precedes every fall, because the home is to exercise influence in molding the coming generations. And when the home is not as it should be, neither will society be as it ought to be. And you can't sow to the flesh and reap life. So how can we improve the quality of homes in America, even among those in the church? Well, when we see the disasters of failure, we must recognize this failure as more than just a social problem. It's a self-imposed spiritual disease, if you want to call it a disease, and we need to seek the proper spiritual medicine for it. Solutions proposed by men have never succeeded. The corrections needed are sometimes hard to take, but considering the alternatives, we would be wise to hasten to take what we need. Today, so many pulpits bemoan the symptoms of home failure, but they refuse to come to grips with the real problems. Fearful of offending the sinful, the remedy given by the Lord is most often unheard, and even more often unheeded. Too much preaching, as one has described, is yo preaching. And by that they mean it's a combination of yes and no. In other words, you can take it any way that you want. One would think that those who are serious regarding the marital problems and family destructions would want something better than the insipid mouthings of social manipulators, social workers, sociologists of atheistic bent, and men who promote their philosophies of so-called wisdom rather than the way of divine wisdom. The first suggestion for improvement that we should make in the home is for Christians to marry those of like precious faith. Now, this is to avoid the multiplicity of problems before they ever arise. So many leave the Lord in favor of their mate when they do not consider the Lord in selecting their mate. Leaders in every religion that I know about warn against mixed marriages because such a divided position is such a serious matter and it inadvertently produces problems. Frankly, it is frustrating and aggravating to have people to totally ignore this sound wisdom and then in a few years come crying to you to help them out of a mess that they've gotten in because of their mate and because of their religious division. What can one do when people fly into the face of truth and reason? Indeed, the way of the transgressor is hard, but convincing people of that is not easily done. They have seen their parents do it, and somehow, some way, they think that division that they have witnessed at home was going to escape them, and they act like stubborn fools, and with parental encouragement, by the way. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 teaches against relationships that are incompatible with being a Christian. Now, this is not only applicable to marriage, but to any relationship. But listening to this divine teaching would certainly include the closest human relationship in life, would it not? That of husband and wife. How can a Christian expect to have Christ in the home when the mate is not even a Christian? The marriage that God approves includes a man and a woman in Christ. Why do people not consider the Lord when selecting their mate? What of the effect and the influence on the children that may be born into that home? Where is the common principle and the basis of truth upon which decisions can be made when the Lord is left out? There are 50 times less divorces among those who marry those of like faith than otherwise when both are active and together in the faith. Oh, I can almost hear the wail and the cry from some of every quarter when even this is suggested. The point is not taken very well on our disintegrating society, but it cannot be repealed, and the fruit of its opposite is destroying us. Women must return to putting the home before their personal careers in the world. It is not male chauvinism, but the Bible that teaches the woman is to guide the house, to love and take care of her family. Place her work as a wife and mother before everything else. You want to read it yourself? Well, turn to Titus 2, 4 and 5. Turn to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. Read Proverbs 31. Oh, the many smart alecks of our time think God's way is out of date, of course. But that simply shows what fools they are. While the world favors monetary gain and recognition and material advancement, these things that are sought at the sacrifice of the home, wives and husbands or children are paying for it in tragic ways. Whether a woman works outside the home, that's not the full issue. So often her choice is based upon selfishness rather than sacrifice. Is it because of need, or is it because of greed, that has taken mothers from their children and brought them into flirtatious encounters in the world, weakening the moral fiber of the home? It is impossible to ignore the increase of juvenile delinquency, child neglect, unattended children, child abuse, and related tragedies with the increase of wives and mothers leaving their primary work as God has assigned it in order to pursue their selfish and worldly ambitions. Would to God such people could not even physically have children. They don't deserve them. Some even kill them in the womb rather than carry them to birth. What vicious servants of the devil they show themselves to be. With the number one cause of wayward children being parental neglect, how can one successfully argue against God's will? Society may be pushing women into more and more competition with men in areas that she does not belong and urging her to abandon the areas where she is especially suited, but godly women will push back. Whatever be the cause bringing this travesty upon society, nobody who is honest and fair with the facts can argue with the corresponding and the disastrous effects on the home. There is no career for women that surpasses the high calling of guiding the house, being a homemaker, caring and attending for the family, providing security and love and a sense of belonging and identity that the mother in the home can give and the mother away from the home cannot provide. And while the world places glamour and praise and money on the pedestal, this is foreign to God's intent. If the women returned to the home, the families would be happier. Ample jobs would be available for those who make provision. Lawlessness would decrease. Children would be better guided. The nation far more stable. And the homes far richer than the money brought in at such sacrifice of what really counts. The home's physical gain is often made at the sacrifice of its spiritual well-being. And there must be a return to the Lord's standards of purity. Do you know that God condemns fornication and adultery and homosexuality and lesbianism and all other forms of illicit sexual conduct? Did you know that? And did you know when God says, "Thou shalt and thou shalt not," there's no room for rationalization to the contrary? Oh, the educated fools of our day have led people to believe the so-called new morality of old degeneracy is the way, and look at what it has produced for all of us. What many call affairs, why, it's nothing more than sin that damns the soul. The immorality of our nation is rampant. Some years ago, I heard a television panel. It was composed of a Protestant clergyman, a Jewish rabbi, and a Catholic priest. They were discussing America's morality. Now, they were at odds on many points, but they were in agreement in one. They all considered the biblical standard of morality out of fashion for our age. These theological servants of hell were undermining the only thing that kept things decent. They could offer nothing whatever to check the advance of the moral decline and the attendant diseases and the evils in its wake. Our universities operated at state expense are too often nothing more than state finance brothels, where the student is taught there is no right, there is no wrong about sexual conduct. Why the fruits of this hideous philosophy does not impress these wise men, it's beyond their comprehension. The diseases, the malformed children, the insecurities, the mental breakdown, the divorces, those things that are produced seem to have no place of the concern of the so-called experts as they ponder the theme of morality. This is quite in contrast, isn't it, to the law of our loving Lord? The law of Christ teaches no sexual union outside of marriage. Not before marriage, absolute faithfulness in marriage. Variance from this is sin, and God holds the sinner guilty. To use premarital sex as a so-called proof of love is to lie with abandon. How could anyone really love another and encourage and participate with them in that which damns the souls of both of them? That's love? Can you not see how spiritually sick are the minds of many even regarding love? That's not love, that's lust. Only the application of God's rule of conduct will deal properly with the moral malady that's besetting our land. And there must be the return to the strong father in the home. The husband is to be the head of the home, Ephesians 5, verse 23. And something's wrong when that is not the case. Either the man is weak and unwilling to assume his responsibilities, which is not manly, or the woman is dominant and unwilling to subject herself to her husband, which is a sorry demonstration of womanhood, but more like a demonstration that all the Jezebels are not dead. Usually both share in the blame when there is not a strong father in the home. There is no such thing as the husband being superior or the wife being superior. Each is superior in his or her realm. But each is a source of stress and malfunction when they're outside of their realm. One of the finest things that was ever said in the Bible of any man was said of Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19, "He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." And friend, there must be the spiritual emphasis in the home. Oh, it may sound trite, but it is still true. Families that pray together usually stay together. This summarizes the usefulness of being spiritually active in the home. One study has shown that 95% of the divorces that do occur do so in homes where one or more did not attend worship. In homes of church-going families, 1 in 57 still suffer divorce. That's tragic in itself, but what a difference. The figure doubtless is not so encouraging today as when the survey was made, because there has been such an increase in divorces even among church people who have followed the ways of the world more than the ways of Christ. We now even have a deluge of false doctrines by some trying to accommodate adultery and sinful so-called marriages so people can do their own thing and still be considered respectable even among digressive brethren. The Lord's wrath shall ultimately be poured out on such teachers and those who follow their sinister doctrines, allowing people to continue in adulterous relationships as if it were acceptable marriage. Such false teaching only encourages more and more home destruction. A person has no more right to destroy the home than he has the right to destroy the church, assuming the home is acceptable to God. They both have come from the mind of God. But to leave God out of the home is to cut away the very heart of it. A home that fails to honor God and honor His Son and His church and His Word can never expect to reap the rich reward of spiritual success that God intends. The home is even a greater spiritual influence, especially on the young, than is the church. The home can support or tear down the efforts made by the church regarding spiritual matters. The home, which is the spring from which all else comes, when it is polluted, it pollutes everything else. And to make matters better, we must concentrate on the improvement of the spring. Friend, we cannot turn our backs on these principles and expect improvement. If we will give heed to them and teach them and insist upon them, even among our own brethren, we shall be blessed. And the place to begin is your home and my home, and try to influence all homes in God's direction. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.